Our God in heaven, Lord, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to share God's word with all people of all ages, young and old. Lord, to be able to do this together as families, and Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace and your love and the direction that you give us. Father, I pray that your word and what you say would speak to us, that your spirit would illuminate it for us and help us to see ourselves and things that maybe some blind spots that you want to point out to us, Lord. We give you permission and we invite you to do that, Lord. But we want to hear from you and we want to follow you in all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm using this handheld because I was sick most of that last week, and I'm thankfully coming out of that. I still have some of the residuals of it. Thankfully, there's water down here. I might be grabbing for some of that. But we are moving on to the what's called the household text or the household codes of this epistle. And you'll notice that we're actually skipping the next two verses, which are about marriage, to the verses that are about family, parents and children. And I did that because today is Family Sunday. What a perfect day to cover those verses when all the kids are here. So kids, I hope that you've got your sheet. And if you're old enough to know what's going on, you can follow along there. I'll try to give you reminders and cues. Oh yeah, we still hand them out. Okay, yeah. Rebecca's coming. You guys can wait for her to come. I won't get to that part just yet. You guys can stay seated and you can listen to me as we go. So this is the household code section, and I'm going to take each of those parts in weeks. So this week about parents and family, next week marriage, and then after that, the masters and bondservants. Now, I know that there's some people in the room that, you know, maybe you don't have kids at home anymore, or you don't have children. And so is this a time that you should just, all right, check out, I can go to sleep, take a nap for this time? And I hope that you will not do that. I hope that you will engage in this for several reasons. I think that there are some truths of God here that are broadly applicable to all people, no doubt. But also just highlighting the idea that we welcomed in new members into our church, and we have a membership covenant. And I want to put on the screen here one of the points in that covenant. Look at what it says about how we walk and engage together. It says, we will walk together in brotherly love, exercising affectionate care and watchfulness over each other, and will faithfully admonish and entreat one another as occasion may require. Brothers and sisters, if you have kids or don't have kids, I hope that you will feel welcome to speak truth into my life, the word of God into my life. There is certainly wisdom and experience that comes from being a parent yourself. That's real. That's a good thing. But when it comes to the truths of God and relationships between people, you don't have to have kids to see something that might need to be corrected in my life. When we're in community groups, we're trying to form relationships where there's a closeness and a permission structure that allows, you know, to say, hey, I just want to ask you about something. You know, I saw an interaction you had with your child, and, you know, it kind of seemed like this, and I just want to ask you. I invite that. And I hope that all the other parents here invite that too. You don't have to be a seasoned, experienced, great, awesome, perfect parent to have truth that you might, that from God's word, to share into someone else's life. Parenting is a lot of technique and experience, no doubt. But what we're talking about here in God's word is not technique. It's not technique. You don't have to have experience in parenting to take these truths, see it being a little off in someone, and help them correct. You know, in fact, I think a lot of times parenting might be one of the areas in our lives where there's some of the biggest blind spots in our life. I was wondering about that. I'd be interested to see what other people see. I see Tom's nodding his head pretty heavily there. But, you know, there's a lot of things in our life we can be blind to, but it might be in parenting where we're the most blind. We assume a lot of things. And to have another perspective, and especially if you're a younger adult, you've got the unique opportunity to really pour especially into the kids' lives in a special way. They relate to you and look up to you in a unique way. So you can encourage children, and you can encourage their parents as well. So please listen, and please help us as parents to be obedient to what God's called us to. all right, so let's go ahead and jump into the text here. I think that you'll see kids at the top of the sheet. Is my title of the sermon is "In a Thriving Family, Jesus is King." In a thriving family, Jesus is King. This is not meant to say everything about families in this passage, but this is, I think, one of the key truths about a thriving family is that Jesus is King. And I remember when our boys had just come home from Haiti, and they were seven and three. And they loved to go to the park. That was one of the things that Chrissy would take them to the park if it was nice outside, and they'd go play, and they just loved that. Aslan, the older one, he didn't like leaving the park. That was a challenge. And oftentimes what would happen is that Chrissy would get him in the car, and he's just really upset and angry and maybe crying and saying, "I don't want to leave." And one of his methods was he's in the seat, and he would unbuckle his seatbelt. And so Chrissy's in her seat, and he's unbuckled his seatbelt. He's like, I'm not going to leave. And she's not going to drive with him not being buckled in. And she's trying to talk him into buckling himself back up or to stop unbuckling. He's crying and throwing a fit. And one of the classic lines we remember from Mackinson, he's only three. And they're just beginning to learn English. Of course, they still spoke a ton of Creole to each other. And he says, "Aslan, obey mama." And obey is Haitian Creole for obey, obviously. He said, "Obey mama, police." And that was the appeal. And Aslan, like, begrudgingly puts the seatbelt on. And that really gets to, I think, part of the theme of this passage is that there's higher authority. There's a higher authority. Aslan doesn't want to leave, but more than that, he doesn't want to get in trouble with the police. And that's, I think, really one of the governing ideas of this passage. And I think one of the most transformative things for kids as you're obeying, and mom and dad as you're leading your children, being a parent, is who's king? Who's the king here? And that's why I'd say that the key to a thriving family is that Jesus is King. And I think, in my opinion, that Jesus's lordship is the governing principle through this whole household code. Everything that he says about marriage, about masters and bondservants, parents and kids, is governed by this idea that Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to draw that out a little bit as we go through it here more, especially in the coming weeks, as we look at the other parts where we're going to have a little bit more time and I can try to go into a little bit more detail. But let me just walk through. We're going to start at verse 17 and just walk through this whole thing. 17 we finished last week, but I think it attaches great to this section. There is a turn in this passage in the way that God is addressed, Jesus is addressed. And look at what it says. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of," kids, you see it highlighted on the screen, "in the name of the Lord." In the name of the Lord. And the Greek word there is kyrios, Lord. I'll talk about that more. Jesus is referred to as Lord earlier in the text, but for the most part up to this point, it's all been about Christ. Remember the Greek for Messiah. It's talking about the gospel. Now it's going to shift. Jesus is also Lord. He's saying, do everything in the name of the kids, Lord. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Keep going. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the kids, Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Good. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a Lord. But it says master, and actually, we'll get into this later, the Greek word is still kyrios. But there's reasons they've translated it to master. We'll get to that at that point. But throughout this text, it's Lord, 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 Lord. And it's important to us to remember that I think the governing thing here is the lordship of Jesus. And that word kyrios means the one who's in charge by right of possession. That's what the Greek word is getting at. In other words, I own my Bible, and I get to decide what happens with this Bible. I own my phone, and I get to decide what happens to my phone. So kyrios is saying the owner, therefore in charge. Now, hopefully you're starting to put the pieces together that no human being owns any other human being. Parent, you do not own your children. They need to obey you, absolutely. But there is a significant difference between obeying because you own and obeying because you were told by a bigger ruler to obey. So jumping into the points, kids, you'll see on your sheet on the side with the graphic, we've got some fill-ins here. So point number one, because Jesus is, and there's the first blank, King. Got it, Miles? Give us King. There we go. Thank you. I will, and you got the next blank there, kids, obey my parents. So I'm going to obey my parents. Why? Because Jesus is King. Verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Good job. It pleases the Lord. Guys, kids, think about who is the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul is the one who wrote this letter. Who is he talking to right now, kids? No. He's talking about the Lord. Definitely. He's talking about Jesus. But who is he talking to directly right now? Yeah. The kids. Is that what you mean? Us mean the kids. Everybody? Yeah, he's definitely talking to everybody too, for sure. But he's talking directly to the kids. And I think that is super, super cool. He's not telling your parents and then they're telling you. He's talking directly to you. And imagine, you know, in those days, they didn't have a big, nice building like this in their church. They were probably meeting in somebody's home. And all the kids were there, and the moms and dads, and the family, and the friends, and cousins, and the next-door neighbor, and whoever, all the people that were in the church were in the house together, and they said, hey, everybody, we got a letter from Paul. Let's read the letter. And they got to this part. This is for everybody. You're right. But it's also talking directly to you guys, kids. And what's the command? What's he's telling us the command is? What does he tell us to do, kids? Obey your parents. Exactly. Good job. To obey your parents. And he says to obey your parents in everything. Now, we'll talk about some of the exceptions that exist in all those things. There are real biblical reasons. And parents, we don't get to tell our kids to do anything. But kids, mom says you got to clean your room. You got to clean your room. And what does that mean to obey? So what does it mean to obey? It means that you do what they told you to do. So if mom or dad says, they might say, I want you to clean your room before you play. That means that you clean your room before you play. You might think, well, I'm going to play just a little bit, then I'll clean my room, and then I'll play a lot more. Is that obeying? No. Or I'm going to, yeah, mom said to clean my room now, but I'm going to clean my room later. I still did what you said. Well, but you didn't do it when I said, right? He's saying we have to obey. And why do we obey? Because Jesus is Lord. Because Jesus is Lord. And it says right in the verse, the why. Because it pleases the Lord. Kids, have you ever had your mom or dad say, I want you to do something, and then your first thought is, why? Yeah, maybe no. That's good. I love the honesty. It might be why. And have you ever asked your mom or dad, why? Well, here's one of the reasons why. Because it pleases the Lord. That's right. The King. He's the King. He's the King. Now, guys, you'll see on your sheet, you got a little drawing here of a heart. And you guys know what that is inside the heart? What would you call that? It's a throne. That's right. It's like a king's throne. It is a king's throne. Now, who do we sometimes like to be on that throne? Well, no, sometimes we like, I got it up on the screen. Sometimes it's really, it's me, right? Who's in charge of my heart? Well, if I do what I want to do, like so mom or dad says, I want you to go brush your teeth and get ready for bed. And then you don't do that. Who's really on the throne? It's me. It's you. So who's in charge? Now, kids, if you want to write on your picture, you can put, who should we put in there? Who should we put on there? Lord Jesus, exactly right. Jesus should be the one that's on the throne in our heart. Now, kids, did you guys know that Jesus obeyed his Father? Did you guys know that? That Jesus obeyed and did what his Father wanted him to do. Even, listen to this, kids, even when he didn't really want to do it. So have you guys ever, like, gotten a command to from your parents that you're really excited about? Like, okay, it's time for dessert. I want you guys to get the cookies out and give everybody a cookie. I don't know a kid who's ever disobeyed that command. That sounds great. Let's go get some cookies and let's give them out to everybody. That's great. It's always hard to obey when you don't want to do it. That's when it's really hard. That's when it's really hard. And that really shows who's king. Who's king? Now listen to this. This is Jesus the night before he goes to the cross. And he is really scared of going to the cross and all that that means. And he really does not want to do that. Listen to what he says to his Father. Matthew 26, verse 39, it says, he went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. So it's okay to, in a nice way, ask your mom and dad, is it okay if I not do it that way and do it a different way? That's okay. Jesus asked for that. But then listen to what he said. He said, I want your will to be done, not mine. So the Father was the king for him. Jesus is obeying his Father, even when he doesn't want to. And guys, kids, every adult in this room has disobeyed their parents. When they were a kid, every single adult in this room has done that. So you're not alone in that. But Jesus obeyed his Father every step of the way. From when he was a little baby all the way to when he moved out of his parents' house. He obeyed his parents. And because he obeyed, he was perfect. And he went to the cross for our sin of disobedience. And when we confess that, and that means that you're right, God, I did disobey, and that's wrong. When we confess that to him, the Bible says that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins It's so, so awesome that Jesus paid the price for us. So kids, just as a review, who should be the king of your heart? Who should be the king? Jesus, the Lord. That's right. Exactly. Good job. And kids, did you know that your parents should also make him king? Did you guys know that? It's not just you guys that should be having Jesus on the throne. Every single person, including your parents, should have Jesus as your king. And that leads to my second point. Because Jesus is king, I will encourage my kids. So children, you can put kids now in that last open spot. Because Jesus is king, I will encourage my kids. And like I said earlier, moms and dads, every adult, I believe that lordship is the governing theme through this entire passage. You know, there's often conflict between authority and people that are supposed to follow authority, right? That's culturally normal. But the way Paul's approaching it is by saying, hey, I'm not going to let's first not establish who is in charge here between you guys, but who is ultimately in charge. That has to be the starting place. And I think, parents, that Jesus being the king in your heart is so impactful in your parenting. So impactful. And part of the reason why I think, now, obviously throughout this passage, he's saying, Lord, 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 Lord. I mean, that is multiple times through this passage. But I think you can see lordship even in this point where he's talking about fathers, because it's fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, it is particularly pointing out fathers here, I think, because Paul is going hard against a cultural norm in their society. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. But first of all, let's realize that, moms, you're not off the hook because it says fathers. It's obviously not okay for a mother to provoke their children in such a way that it leads to discouragement, right? That's obviously not okay. But Paul is particularly going after fathers because culturally in that time, the head of the household was Lord. Culturally, he was the owner. Every person in that household belonged possessively to him, meaning his rule, his say, was the law throughout. So I think he is going hard. It's like, fathers, no. Your children need to obey you, but not because you own them. He's saying, fathers, I'm the Lord. I am the Kyrios, not you. Not you. Fathers, you are not the Lord of your children. It's easy for us as parents to tell our children, Jesus is your Lord. While at the same time, in my own heart, I'm the king. I'm the king. And I think at the heart of that is where this provoking and this discouragement comes. How can you as a parent hope for your child to follow Jesus? Like as a Christian, that should be my greatest hope for all my kids, that they are walking and following Jesus, right? How can I hope for that if the way I'm parenting is I'm king? You know, you can't tell your kid, Jesus said to obey, Jesus said to obey, when they know just by watching you all day that you don't obey Jesus. Why should I obey Jesus? And again, I think that this verse speaks so much. This idea of who is the king of my heart, parent, who is the king of my heart, is so important. And the command here is to not provoke your children. And that Greek meaning there is to cause resentment in my child, provoke or cause bitterness in my child. And he goes on to say that it can lead to discouragement. And that idea is like, I've lost heart. I've lost my spirit. And I think that when you imagine the tyrannical king kind of lord parenting, how that is just completely undermining the uniqueness and the beauty and the spirit of who that individual is. And the child goes from having a spirit of who they are, spirit in all the best sense of it, to now, like, I'm either, at my first chance, I'm out of here and I'm rejecting everything about you, or I'm just become a wallflower and I've lost all of who I am. And again, I think this is so important to us as parents because I'm not Lord. Parents, we did not make our children. We did not pick their abilities and their talents and you know, the God-given strengths and weaknesses, all the good things about the unique design of who they are. We did not plan out their life for what they're going to become and where they're going to go and all those kinds of things. We did none of that. We didn't pick their personality, their tastes, their desires. These are God-made things in our children. And I think if this is Lord, then I'm going to start acting like I was the person who did all that. You know, and there's just the classic, you know, debate that everybody talks about of nature versus nurture. You know, parents, you've seen that before. About, you know, are people the product of who they naturally are? Or are people the product of the environment that they're in? And, you know, there's a lot to be said. I mean, I'm not going to go into all that. But I think when we put ourselves in the Lord chair, then we're saying it doesn't really matter because I'm over their nature and I'm over their nurture because I am Kyrios. I am King. And I think that there is a significant difference, parent, between having the attitude of an owner versus having the attitude of Jesus is King. As a parent, I'm a steward right now in this relationship. But there are so many things that God's called me to as a parent, absolutely, but there are things that he has not called me to as a parent in their life. In other words, they are an independent human being. They're not a robot made in your image that you design and manipulate and change and, you know, guide. That's what a creator God does. Parent, recognize that this is such a big, big thing, and I'm constantly challenged this in my own life. There is my part of the relationship with my children, and then there is my child's relationship with God. And I can't make that happen with force of will or my desire. Do I trust, as a parent, that King Jesus made my child the way they did, gave them their strengths and weaknesses, they're all the things that make them good about what he's made about them? Do I trust him with all of that? And I think that this, all these things run right at that. Do I trust him? I think a lot of times when we're the king, we parent them out of a fear and a control. Like, I got to put them in a box and I got to control all everything because I can't trust God with a lot of things that are on his side of things. Parent, where's your responsibility where he's called you and where's God's? And I have to let God be God in my child's life. I can't micromanage them. Or I can't order them around for my comfort. Make things great for me. This is not a human being that's like a great like tool that God's given me to be my extension of my will. Or when we put our false hopes on them and cause, you know, force them to drive in a certain way, or blow up in frustration. You know, the patience runs thin. We treat them unfairly and unjustly. And I think a lot of those things are at the root is I'm the king. In the throne of my heart is me. And this subject of mine is violating God. And guys, that is so harmful to the child's relationship with the true king. With the true king. I'm a steward. And I think it's the best we can do as parents is make Jesus king. I'm following him. And then I'm helping to point them Follow King Jesus. Follow King Jesus. Parents, you are discipling your children. Jesus commanded us to make disciples, to teach them to obey everything that I commanded you. Absolutely in the parental prerogative. Teach is very different than make. Right? I mean, and we could go on for days, I think, on all of this to get into the nuances of it. You know, I think, you know, you think, and just as a quick aside, there's a vast difference between the 2-year-old and the 18-year-old, right? I always think that with toddlers, I mean, you literally save their life every single day, right? Right? They have no clue you just saved their life. They think you just jerked them around. It's like, no, I just saved you from getting run over by a bus because I grabbed your collar and I pulled you back onto the street, right? You don't do that with an 18-year-old, right? So we got to be careful about how far we push these, but I think fundamentally what he's saying is, parent, who's Lord? Who's Lord? There's a Lord, and I'm going to follow him in my parenting. King Jesus, what should I do here? King Jesus, I need wisdom here. King Jesus, I need some help and instruction. Like that kind of orientation and help. And rather than I am the Lord of the household, do what I say. Do what I say. Now, Jesus is commanding the kids to obey your parents, right? And the Kyrios master of the house is saying, obey your parents. So the words are exactly the same, but the heart is drastically different. Drastically different. Because who is the ultimate king? Parent, you are a terrible God. Be honest. You are a terrible God. Even if every one of your desires and wills for your children came true, it would be bad for them. Really bad for them. My hopes and desires is that everything that King Jesus wants becomes true for my kids. And how can I join God in that? How can I be a part of that and be involved in that? And I don't want to get in the way of that relationship. You know, I really think that a lot of times when we say through our actions to our children that I'm king, then really what we're doing is kind of getting in the way of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, if your child is a believer, the Holy Spirit is speaking to them about the truth of who's king. And then when we come in with this confusing, you know, secondary message of actually, I'm the king, what are they supposed to do? Super confusing. And especially when it becomes, you know, a harsh and all the things that we're tempted to, I think that's, it's like dispirited. I've lost my spirit of who I am. Guys, your kids are made in the image of God and what he has made them to be in their righteousness and their holiness is way better than you could ever imagine. Do you trust his plan for your kids and what that looks like for them? And just being so joyous in what he's made, because that's what God is. God loves what he's made. He thinks what he's made is awesome. In all of its detail, in its cool, bragging, you know, kind of talents, and it's, wow, not so great at that thing, but hey, that's who they are. Jesus loves every bit of that. And parent, I could go on and on, but the point is that if you are king in your heart and that's how you're parenting, it is going to mess up, I think, almost everything else in how we're parenting our children. And finally, I would just encourage you, as parents, to be honest with your kids when you fall into that temptation. And ask for forgiveness. That's what we do. That's how relationships continue. Is you admit, I was wrong about that. Please forgive me. I've already asked Jesus to forgive me for that action. Will you forgive me too? And you don't come in with like, Jesus said you got to forgive me. Jesus said you got to forgive me. It's like, well, yeah, he did say that, but that's a relationship between them and God. I want to encourage them in that. And again, that's why I say here is that parents, because Jesus is king, I want to encourage. I want to fill them with a heart to be who they are for Jesus, following him, not as this weird thing that I make as a parent. So, Jesus must rule your hearts. And as just as a way of closing here, and I feel like this is a theme verse that's going to apply through this whole text, is Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And there was a point, kids, you remember, I don't know if kids, you guys knew this, but did you guys know that Jesus made it clear who is the greatest in the kingdom? Because some of the disciples came to Jesus and they said, hey, Jesus, so who's going to be the coolest and the greatest and the most awesomest person in heaven? Is it going to be me or is it one of these guys? I mean, I'm obviously like top 10, right? And Jesus, he saw a child and he brought the child over to him. And he's told his disciples, kids, listen to this. This is what Jesus said about kids. He said, you have to repent. In other words, turn from your sin. And then be humble like a child. And that is the greatest. That is the greatest in the kingdom. Guys, our culture says that power is great. Who's the greatest, most powerful person? That's the greatest person. Who's the most greatest person in a school? Well, that's the most powerful person. Or in a business, that's the most powerful person. Or in a country, it's the most powerful person. Jesus is saying, no, it's the one who follows me and is humble, like a kid. That is so incredible. And look at how Jesus became the greatest by following. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, guys, I want you all to think like Jesus in this way, who, though he was in the form of God, in other words, like he is the most important person in the world, in the universe, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he set that aside. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Like, that's the lowest person. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, it says he humbled himself by, this is how he was humble. And I really think that humility is not, you know, saying low things about yourself. Humility means I obey the proper authority that God's given in my life. That's humility. He humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. And here's what happened. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Remember back to Colossians 3:17. It says, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the highest person. And why is he the highest person? It's not just because he's God. It's because he humbled himself and he obeyed. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, put on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Kids, moms and dads, every single person in this room, is Jesus Lord? Yes, he is, but is he Lord of your heart? Is he Lord of your heart? When I'm obeying him and doing what he wants me to do and not what I want to do, that means he's in charge and that means he's the king. And moms and dads, that is just as true for you. And moms and dads, I think that your kid's greatest hope is in that right there. There are a lot of things you can't control, mom and dad, about your kids. And you're going to realize, especially as they get older, it gets less and less. But you can't control, mom and dad, who's king. Who's king? And I need Jesus' grace for that. Man, I need Jesus' grace for that. I need his power in that in my life. And man, do I stumble constantly in that. But I'm just going to come back to him in humble repentance and confession. Jesus, I did what I wanted to do there. And you're right, that was wrong. That was sin. So who's king? Who's king? Let's pray. Our God in heaven, thank you so much that Jesus gave the example to us of humility. There is no such thing in your kingdom as the person that has to obey being the low person. In your kingdom, it's completely upside down. Obedience brings humility, and humility is what brings greatness in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you have obeyed the Father. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts, Jesus, to follow you and make you king. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.